Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants.
Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm J Clone
168. Woo! Today we're going to talk about some fascinating Bigfoot and Dogman encounters.
Ooh, all right. All right, exciting.
Before we get rock and rolling, any announcements? Anything?
Well, you're putting me on the spot. Oh, yes. Are you referring to the new book, perhaps?
Oh, maybe, if it's available yet or not.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were wanting me to talk about.
No, so the children's book.
Right.
A to Z Cryptids. Do you have it with you? Where is it at?
I
don't
even see it. My first encyclopedia.
My first cryptid encyclopedia. But you had it. Where'd you put it?
Odd.
Oh, it's behind me is why.
Oh. Oh, it is. It's way behind you. Okay, I didn't put it over there.
The test print just came today. But A to Z Cryptids, my first cryptid encyclopedia. Written by Justin England, the great and powerful Mystery.
Yep, that's Mystery.
And illustrated by Joseph Burke.
That's not me.
Burkey?
Burke. I'd say Burke.
That's JB. If anybody ever refers to, if you hear us refer to JB, that's JB. It looks really cool. I think everybody's going to really enjoy it. Oh, I don't know what that was.
It was fun. It was fun to...
It was fun to do. It's
put together.
I really like it. I think once it's all said and done, I think people are really going to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll have it for Squonkapalooza, which is coming up, which we'll be speakers at first weekend in August.
Yeah, that'll be here soon.
And we're actually... Our talk's going to feature some of the cryptids out of the A to Z Cryptids Guide.
All right. Exciting stuff. So come see us in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Was that first? Oh gosh, sorry. First Saturday.
All kinds of noises this episode.
Was that the first?
We're professionals.
Yeah, I know. Professional podcasters.
Trust me, I'm a professional podcaster.
It's a hot room. It's tight. It's tight in here, and we're bumping things. But I'm really excited for Squonkapalooza. That'll be here soon, and then shortly after that, it'll be
Hocking Hills
Bigfoot Festival or Bigfoot Conference. Festival. Yeah.
Benton County Fairgrounds.
Yeah, they moved it. It's at a bigger facility this year. We're speaking as well.
Yeah, we speak every day, I think at 10 a.m. We're doing like a nature talk every morning.
Yeah.
And then our actual speaking engagement for the Bigfoot stuff is, I think, Saturday.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Either way.
It's either Friday or Saturday.
Either way, we're going to be there all weekend for the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. So come down and see us. Come hang out with us.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. Any other announcements?
How
Bigfoot Jamboree tickets still on sale?
Yep, still on sale. October 4th this year, first Saturday of October every year, here in Ada, Ohio.
And we'll see if every year,
right. As long as it keeps growing, it will be.
Yeah, I may decide that you either do it by yourself or I'm not involved.
Oh, okay. In the Jamboree?
That was a joke.
I was gonna say,
I like the Jamboree. It's very stressful, but
yeah, I know, but it's fun when
it's done. It's fun during and like once it's about noon. About noon, once everything's going,
we're fine. Yeah.
But, all right, you ready?
Yeah, Bigfoot and Dog Man.
Yeah. So first article I came around was about these four cases in Missouri specifically, where Bigfoot and Dog Man were reported like together.
Okay. Yes. So, does not happen often.
Well, I don't know. I feel like depending on where you're at, like we're going to talk about the LBL a little bit and stuff like that. There are certain areas.
Certain, not often.
Where there's a ton of overlap between these two.
And when they do overlap, it's usually never good.
But yeah, all right.
A little foreshadowing.
Adair County, in this is Missouri.
Right.
1985, Bill Hawkins. And this is how he tells it. I ain't much for telling tales. What I saw in October in the evening of the Chartan River changed me forever. Name's Bill Hawkins. Been farming the land since I was able to walk. Three generations on this soil, northwest of Kirksville. There's about 3 miles off of Highway 6. My granddaddy bought this place in 1921. We worked every inch of these 300 acres ever since then. The evening started off as any other during harvest. The sun was setting earlier, typical for late October, and there was a particular chill in the air that tells you that winter ain't far off. I had spent most of my day combining soybeans, trying to get ahead of the rain that was forecast for the weekend. My oldest boy, Tommy, had helped me until about 4:30 before heading home to tend to his own place over in Brusher. Around 6:15, I took the truck out to check the fences along the north pasture. There was a border for Thompson Creek. We had trouble with coyotes a lot that year, more than usual. And I thought I had already lost two calves that spring. The light was fading fast, but there was still that purple-orange glow on the horizon gave me enough light to work. First sight, something was wrong with the cattle. I worked with cattle all my life. You get to know their behavior. They weren't just restless, they were terrified. The whole herd, about 30 head of Angus, were pressed up against the south fence as far as they could get away from the creek tree line. Even from the truck, I could see them shaking. I grabbed my flashlight and my old Winchester 30-30. Never going to check the fences without it, especially at dusk. The air had gotten heavy, like just before a storm, but it felt different. There was a smell, like that of wet dog mixed with something rotten. It kept getting stronger and stronger the more I walked towards the creek. And that's when I heard it, a deep rumbling growl that felt more than you heard, sent shivers straight down my boots. I swung my flashlight towards the sound, and that's when I saw them both. The wolf thing was closest, maybe 40 yards out, standing upright, easily 8 feet tall, with shoulders wider than a truck hood. Its fur was black, at least almost black. It had the silvery sheen to it when the flashlight beam hit it. It's the face that haunts me. It was like a wolf's head, but bigger, more angular, with these deep amber eyes that seemed to burn from within. Its hands, if you can even call these hands, were like claws that were carved daggers. But the other creature, Lord have mercy, it was even bigger. It must have been 9 feet, if it was an inch, covered with thick, matted, nasty brown fur. Built like a linebacker just three times, with arms that hung down past its knees. More man-like in the face than the wolf thing, but not human. No, sir. It definitely was not human. He had a massive brow ridge with a wide, flat nose. They were locked in what I could call combat like nothing I've ever seen. The wolf thing was quicker, slashing his terrible claws with the big one. What folks call Bigfoot was using pure strength, trying to grab it and crush it. They crashed through the fence like it wasn't even there, snapping those thick cedar posts like they were twigs. The noise was overwhelming. Snarls, roars, horrible screeches, and the gnashing of teeth. The ground shook with every impact and every slam into each other. The trees had stood there for decades were getting pushed over like they were saplings. I ain't ashamed to admit it. I backed away real slow and quite never taking my eyes off them. I made it to the truck, and I got the heck out of there. I called Tommy as soon as I got home. Told him to keep his kids close to the house for a while. The next morning, I went back there with Tommy and my younger boy, Dave. The destruction was something to behold. The fence posts were scattered like pickup sticks across 50 yards. Deep gouges were in the earth, some of them nearly a foot deep. Found blood on some broken branches, both dark red and some that had a stranger, almost blackish tint to it. Most telling thing was the tracks. Some of them looked like oversized giant wolf prints, but stretched out as if they were made by something that was walking upright. The others were huge, four or five times the size of my boot, shaped like a bear human, but way too big. That was 39 years ago, and I ain't told many people about it. Changed how I farm, though. I don't work past dusk ever. Built stronger fences with steel posts. Not that that would stop anything.
Right.
But it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Start carrying my rifle everywhere. Upgraded to 30-06 for the extra power. Got myself the best guard dog I could find, German Shepherd bred from police lines. They're good dogs, but there are nights where something presses out there in the dark and the dogs just whimper and hide in their kennels. Mm. Been hearing stories lately, a lot more than usual. Folks here in Knox County losing a lot of cattle. Strange sounds in the night, western of Sullivan County, or Sullivan County. Howard County hunters finding tore up trees and weird marks on trunks. Makes me wonder if the thing I saw all that time ago is starting to show up again. Like maybe these creatures have been fighting over this territory for all this time.
Mm.
And maybe we humans just ain't noticed it. My granddaughter's taking environmental science in Torrance State now. She tells me about how apex predators have huge territories to survive. Maybe that's what this is, war over grounds. At something late that night, I still hear those sounds coming from the direction of the creek, and I pray they keep fighting in the wild places, and they don't come back.
Hmm. Okay, so that's a lot in that story.
What do you mean? That was easy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of details, a lot of actions happen.
And once again, this was turned in to the Missouri Bigfoot website, and this is a collection of four of them, so I can't tell you if it's real or not.
Right, yeah. I did picture, though, like, him stumbling across that, basically a fight scene. I imagine, like, in an old movie, like, it's an old West, like, bar scene, like, bar fight, and they're just, like, throwing each other into all the tables and chairs and wrecking everything.
Oh, you think that?
That's how I pictured it in my head, and he stumbled across it. Like, there's a plate glass window. They get tossed. One just gets tossed through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, I get you.
Out in the middle of the woods. It's
I was picturing the T-Rex and Dominus Rex fight from the first Jurassic World. Just destroying buildings, throwing each other.
Everything, yeah.
Just these massive animals just destroying. But it's definitely weird. I mean, it's just, you know, didn't care about cows, people. So you don't know if he had lost calves that year. So was it the dog man hunting the calves? Cows and Bigfoot got involved,
right?
Or is it just the territorial overlap? Is it something that,
like they were saying, yeah,
Joel and Tony having done the Dogman documentary, you know, having Bigfoot stuff and then that's or sorry, having Dogman stuff and then that stops and then Bigfoot stuff
starts up, yeah. I'd say we're out of any story we've seen with the overlap of Dogman and Bigfoot, it's not good, they're always fighting,
they don't seem to. Extremely care for each other.
At all, yeah.
Well, that's not necessarily true. There's a couple stories I've heard where people think Dogman is basically like a Bigfoot's dog.
Yeah.
Or they're running them to hunt with.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd say that may be more the rare thing than...
I don't think that's what's happening, but...
Yeah.
There's people who have had those... Thoughts. Have those encounters.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
How he describes them, but, just... It's... He's either a poet or he really seen these things.
Oh, gotcha, yes. As far as the way it sounds like he's been there.
Yeah.
Like he did experience it. But yeah, I say overall, it's a weird one, but it draws a lot of parallels too with your experience and your Bigfoot experience on how, like your dogs.
Oh, the dogs,
You know how they...
I'm like, I didn't watch my Bigfoot fight anything.
No, not like that. The dog behavior, the animal behavior general, how being the his cows are pushed up against the thing, or just like how your dogs were not, they were service dogs, right? Your one?
Yes, yeah.
And he was. And he did not get on your lap. He didn't act like that.
Right, but he
that,
broke all of his training.
For that one night when all that weird stuff was going on at your place.
I got you.
So that's why I thought about that when you were talking about the cows and things like that. Just odd behavior, odd animal behavior. And And I experienced that when I had our chows, and I never put two and two together. I told you about this before.
Oh, like, I'm like, did we just unlock? It's been a while since we unlocked the J memory.
Yeah, no, I've told you about this before. Just how I never pieced it together until we started doing this show. But there was just some, it was very rare and very random nights where, because at some point we had, I think, Rupert. We had Rupert, Rocco, Tootsie, and Grace, and Coda, and at one point we had Pebbles and Mom. So we had six at one point. And they were, you know, they're pretty protective dogs. They're not really scared of anything. But one night, you know, just come home from work and it's nighttime and they're all just kind of like, they're all outside dogs too. You know, they got their inside area they can go into.
Right.
They're not in the house. Only one dog was like an indoor, outdoor house dog. But they were all like kind of huddled around me when I got home. Just kind of like with a little whimper in their
something. They're like, not quite sure about.
Yeah, and I was like, well, are you guys hungry? Like, to me, I thought maybe they were just all hungry for some reason. Like, just came out of the dog's act when they want something. It's just kind of how they acted, and I was just petting them, and like they all wanted to come in. And I'm like, no, you're staying out here. But it's middle of, like, not middle of winter or nothing.
Like, we're getting a house dog from Uran this October. The Catahoula Leopard dog.
Yeah.
But when we move out there, and we start building the property, I'm 100% getting like two or three Pyrenees.
They're good dogs.
Just for outside. Just they live, you put them in, literally people I know right now that are raising them, their puppies are in with their goats.
Oh, that's awesome.
The mom and the puppies live in the goat paddock. With the, they go inside with the goats, and that's what I want. So like in all the, because when we had, we never had Pyrenees, but we had a lot of outside dogs. Lucy was the famous one, the red heeler. And she was a little too intense for our small operation. She needed a lot more work than even we were giving her.
Gotcha, okay.
But, I mean, that's the only dog I've ever really heard. There's a few dogs I've ever heard of, like, Lucy was ready to fight that Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah, she would've.
She was going to die, but...
Yeah. No, dogs don't win against Bigfoot.
Not very often.
I can't name once.
Maybe there's Burmese, like, mountain bear dogs, or there's a pack of them.
Well, I'll be waiting for that story until I hear it, but then no, I'll believe it.
Like, seriously, for all the animals we're talking about, getting everything, getting like maybe even two to three Pyrenees. I'm talking about buying all the puppies at once and doing siblings.
Now, is this even to protect against the dog man and the Bigfoot back there?
No, this is more for the coyotes, but you know then if something's up.
Oh, yeah.
They'll alert you.
Oh, yeah, they will. Heck yeah.
And go out with the judge and then take care of it.
The judge.
And then I come back in saying it wasn't a man, like my dad.
Right, yeah. Let's just recreate that whole...
I don't want it. I'm good.
Without the shadow people.
Not even that, just the Bigfoot. I don't ever need to see another Bigfoot.
Well, now I know if car hoods start stacking up in the corner of the yard somewhere...
It was weird.
I'm gonna blame you.
Why?
Common denominator.
Common denominator.
It did it there at your old place, and now it's doing it at your new place.
That's only like 4 miles from the old place.
Interesting here. No, I'm just, I don't know.
Which apparently Tony's member space crew, they figured out where my old house was.
Oh, they found it?
Yep.
Oh.
Ambrosia said that they were in one of the chats, figured it out.
Oh, they found your...
I didn't give out the address. So.
No, I don't think he did.
Oh, I know I didn't. Because people live there.
Yeah.
All right, ready for the next one?
Yes, I think so. I was trying to think if there was anything else about that story.
But yeah. Marion County, 1996. Jimmy. Yeah, he was up here fishing. It's Jimmy from Ohio.
Marion County, Ohio?
No, Marion County, Missouri.
We're still in Missouri. Okay.
Yeah, these first four are all in Missouri.
Okay, gotcha.
No, it's James Wheeler, a.k.a. Jimmy. So this is an official statement given by James, quote, Jimmy Wheeler, professional driver for the Midwest Continental Transport regarding events on Route 61. So this is an official report. My name's James Wheeler. Everybody calls me Jimmy. I've been driving trucks since 1974. Started right after I got out of the Army. Done every kind of thing you can think of, or hauled every kind of thing you can think of, from Kansas City to Chicago to everywhere in between. Got over 2 million miles under my belt. Never had an accident, never failed a drug test, never gotten a speeding ticket in my rig. I'm telling you this so you understand. I ain't the kind of man to make up stories. I ain't the kind of man to do drugs. This happened to me on September 23rd, 1996. I was making my regular run from Burlington down through Hamble, the hauling auto parts with a full trailer. Weather was clear. Moon was almost full. Perfect driving conditions, really. I'd stopped at a Wayland truck stop at 1 a.m. for coffee and to check my logs. Everything was normal. I remember just checking my watch just before then, 2:17 a.m. I was about 3 miles north of Pomeroy. There was the long stretch that runs from Marion City Lake. Speed limit is 55 back then, and I was doing right about that. Had my CB on, listened to other drivers talk about normal stuff, road conditions, speed traps, usual trucker talk. First thing I noticed was a smell coming through my vents. Killed my appetite real quick. Like rancid meat and wet fur. Thought maybe I'd hit a skunk, but the smell was a lot stronger. More wild, if that makes any sense to anybody. Then my headlights caught something moving in the field to my right. At first, I thought it was a deer, but it was way too big. The thing burst out of the tree line, doing easily 40 miles per hour, crossed both lanes right in front of me. Had to hit the brakes real hard. Felt my trailer almost wanted a jackknife. Thank God there wasn't any other traffic out there, there would have been an accident. What I saw in those few seconds was something out of a nightmare, except I was wide awake. The thing was massive, easily 7 or 8 feet tall, built like a wolf, but running on two legs. Had these powerful back legs, long, long arms, with hands that looked like claws. The head was definitely wolf-like, but bigger. These teeth even showed like its mouth when it was closed, like a crocodile. Fur was so black, it was black as coal, but it had the silver sheen when the light hit it. There are things that get even crazier. The thing was being chased by something even bigger. At first, I thought it was a bear. But bears don't run on two legs, and they don't run at 40 miles an hour. The other creature was 9 foot tall, easy, covered in brown fur, built like a gorilla on steroids. Had a massive chest and arms like trunks. Its face, it wasn't like any animal I'd ever seen. Kind of flat, real heavy brow, human-like, but definitely not human. They disappeared into the woods east of the highway, towards the Salt River. The sounds that came after were like wolf howls mixed with a lion roar and other sounds deeper, more guttural, like nothing I ever heard before. Went on for maybe 5 minutes. I could hear trees crashing down, could hear them snapping like twigs. I pulled over the next rest stop just to take a moment. My hands were shaking so bad, I was spilling my coffee. I called in into dispatch, as you can imagine how that went. Dispatch just laughed, asked me if I'd been drinking. I ain't touched a drop since 82, and I told her that. Found out later I wasn't the only one that saw that night. A farmer out near Philadelphia, and this is Philadelphia out there, lost 3 sheep the same night, found them tore apart as if something was fighting over them. Guy in Marion County Sheriff's Office told me to get, or he gets calls about strange noises and property damage, but they always gets blamed on vandals. Changed my whole route after that. Started taking I-72 through Illinois instead. It added an hour to my route, but I bought myself some dashboard cams. Was back and before that was even common. Never caught anything, though. These things seem to know when they're being watched. About a month later, I was in a truck stop near Bowling Green, talking with some other drivers. One old-timer named Earl told me about a similar thing he had seen in Kirksville back in 85. Same description, wolf-like thing and big hairy creature fighting. Got me thinking that it wasn't just a random thing. Over the years, I'd heard more stories. Something like these creatures have been spotted all over Missouri. Some pattern, same territorial disputes, fighting over hunting grounds. Some old-timers say that they've been here longer than the roads. Had another encounter in 2002, much less dramatic, but just as scary. Was parked at a rest stop north of Hamble, catching some sleep in my cab. Woke up to my truck rocking, like something big had bumped it. Looked out my window and saw this wolf-like thing sniffing around my trailer. Must have caught my scent because it looked right at me. Those eyes were burning like embers. It let out a growl that made my whole truck vibrate. And then vanished into the dark. I retired from truck driving in 18, but I still think about what I saw every day. I keep reading local papers. I keep following stories about livestock killings and strange sighting in the area. They're still out there. They're still fighting their secret war in our forest and fields. Most folks don't believe me, and maybe that's for the best. But I know what I saw, and I thank God every day that my truck was not broken down on the side of the road that night.
Oh, yeah, I would be too. It's funny, like, he took a whole different route and bought cameras. If you wanted to catch on camera, you think you'd just keep taking the same route.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't. I don't think he wanted to catch it on camera.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Right, yeah.
Well, because we talked about, like, you've already brought up my Bigfoot encounter once that, you know, we felt crazy. I felt crazy.
Right.
For probably 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mentioned this many times, but thanks to shows like Mountain Monsters, Find a Bigfoot and that, like, other people see these.
Taking the pressure off you.
Other people, yeah. You know,
being able to talk about it.
Because I knew what Bigfoot was, but not really.
Right.
You know, yeah. like every person, you know, if you say Bigfoot to pretty much anybody in this country, they got an idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, so what they think it is, correct. Yeah.
But not what the phenomena is, how immense and how many people see it.
How big it actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, another one where Bigfoot's chasing dog, man. They end up in a woods, crashing, slamming, breaking, kaiju fight.
That's the thing. You're just driving by and you see the dog running first, the dog man, like, oh, that's weird.
And then, that's horrible. And then, a 9 foot tall Bigfoot comes
looking behind
him. Terminator running.
Literally, yeah, Terminator running at him. So I still think that's funny. I still think overall, I don't know if there's good or bad, but I feel like the Bigfoot are the good guys in the situation. The dogmen are the bad ones. And I don't necessarily mean that like our terms are good and bad, but it feels like the Bigfoots are like the dogmen go into territory. I don't know. This is just all speculation. They're going to sneak into territories and sneak into areas and take what they want. Whereas I feel like Bigfoot like kind of owns a territory, you know, they just kind of live in this and they don't necessarily take from the land, but they use the land, you know, with it, where the dogmen are more like that energy where they're there to kill. They're there to eat and hunt and not necessarily use the land as like to function with, but using it to eat and feed and prey off everything, where the Bigfoot are more integrated with the land. I don't know. That's just my speculation in the scenarios between the dogmen and the Bigfoot.
Well, I think it's perfect time to take an ad break. But before we do that, why don't you tell them about fishing?
Future anglers of Indian Lake of Ohio. They provide a bunch of future anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio. They provide a bunch of equipment and tools and stuff for kids to go out fishing. And it's important to take your kids out fishing. Get them in nature. Teach them how to fish. Teach them how to take care of themselves. And not only that, it's fun. It's fun to be outside in nature, in the sun, in the water. You know, digging up bait and worms or going to the bait store, hooking them up, throwing in the water. You know, get kids involved in doing that. Get them outside more because, you know, we need less tablet time and more lake time. Welcome back to Cooking with Jay Clone 77. And we're back again on a new episode with my guest chef, the Defiance Dogman.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, okay, Defiance Dogman. Today, you're preparing a special dish. What do you got for us today?
Lamb chops.
Ah, some roasted lamb chops. Oh, now, you said today you brought a secret ingredient. What was that you brought with us today? Oh, spicy Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic dust from Flavors of the Forest?
Yeah, best thing.
Ah, let me sprinkle a little bit on my lamb chop here that you prepared. Oh, my goodness. This flavor profile went from a 10 to an 11.
That means you go...
Couldn't have said it better myself, Mr. Dogman. And you can find this. You can get your own bottles of Flavors of the Forest raw, spicy garlic dust, raw garlic dust, spicy garlic dust, Bigfoot breath. It's all delicious and packed full of garlic, delicious flavor that you can't get anywhere else. You can get it at flavorsforest.com/corn.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Well, that one was very fitting for
why I picked it.
The story at hand.
Ready for the next one?
I think so, yeah.
Lewis County, 2005, Mike Tanner.
Oh, before you get into this one, are these all truck drivers, like, stories?
Missouri. They're all Missouri.
Okay.
So this is a ranger.
Okay.
First two just happened to be.
That just happened to me.
Well, no, the first guy was a farmer.
Oh, that's
right. The second guy was a truck driver.
Okay. First guy was just a farmer driving.
You're confusing it because we did some Patreon truck driver dogman stuff.
Shoot, I think you're right. It's all overlapping right now.
Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, I theme them sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I theme a week.
So that's Patreon coming out tomorrow.
Because today's, Monday's all about dogman and Bigfoot.
Patreon's all about dogman.
And Wednesday's all about Bigfoot.
Wow.
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 Lewis County, Mike Turner. He says this, I've been a park ranger at Deer Ridge Conservation Area for 12 years now. My name's Mike Turner, former Marine, did 2 tours in Desert Storm before coming back to Missouri. Thought I'd seen everything the woods could throw at me, from poachers to drug operations to the occasional lost hiker. But when this happened to our December patrol, it changed everything I thought I knew about the world. It was a Thursday night, cool for September. I was doing my final patrol before closing the North Gate. We had a report of spotlighting in the area, which I knew to keep an extra eye out for deer poachers. The moon was nearly full. The sky was clear enough that I could patrol without a flashlight most of the time. Around 9:30 p.m., I was checking back service roads along the LaGrange Ridge when my radio started acting up. Just static and weird interference. At first, I thought it was just, typical dead zone issues. But then my truck's electrical system started getting really haywire. Dash lights were flickering, headlights were dimming, then I noticed the smell. Anyone who works outdoors knows it's not unusual for forest smells. Wet leaves, deer musk, the occasional skunk, dead animals. That was different. It was a mix between dog mixed with rotting meat and then something else.
Hmm.
Something that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. My first thought was maybe a dead deer somewhere nearby, but this was stronger, more alive. I killed the engine and grabbed my rifle. It was the standard issue Remington 700, heavy-duty flashlight. The woods had gone completely silent. No crickets, no owls, no nothing. In all my years as a ranger, I had never heard these woods so quiet. That's when I heard the first crash. It sounded like a tree coming down, maybe a quarter mile to my east. Then another closer. Something kept moving through the forest. Something big enough to be knocking trees down. I radioed dispatch, but got nothing but static. I moved to the edge of the service road using an old oak as cover. The crashing was getting closer and closer. And now I could hear something else. It sounded like fighting. Nothing like 2 deer going at it during rut. This was something very different. There were roars and growls. Didn't sound like any animal I'd ever heard of in these woods before. And that's when it came into view in the clearing about 50 yards ahead. 2 creatures, locked in combat. The first one looked like a wolf, but it was all wrong. It was standing on 2 legs, easily 7 or maybe 8 feet tall, with arms that ended in hands with massive claws. Its fur was dark, almost black, and its eyes, God help me, its eyes glowed like hot coals in my flashlight beam. The other creature was even bigger, 9.5 foot tall at least, covered in brown fur, built like a thick linebacker, maybe 3 times as big. Looked almost like a giant ape, but different from any pictures I'd seen of gorillas or even Bigfoot. Thing was built for fighting, with massive shoulders and arms that looked like it could snap trees. The things were going at each other like nothing I'd ever seen. The wolf thing was fast, slashing at its claws. The big one was trying to grab and, and break it. They slam into the trees. The trees would just snap. The ground shook with each impact. I stood there frozen, my rifle trained on them, not knowing, I had no business getting involved in whatever was happening. The fight moved through the clearing and then deeper into the woods on the other side, heading towards the river. The sound went on for another 15 minutes at least, the crashing, the roaring, and then the awful screeching that set my teeth on edge.
Mm.
It finally got quiet. I waited another 30 minutes before investigating the clearing. That's when I found, all is documented in an official report, and that's what it's worth. Trees up to 14 inches thick, snap like they were twigs. Blood on the ground, some red, and some odd-looking blood as well.
Mm.
Tracks made no sense. A mix of massive wolf prints, shaped all wrong, giant bear human prints that was way too big. I collected what evidence I could, took photos, measurements, hair samples, caught on broken branches, Made my reports to the department, came back with photos and GPS coordinates. 2 days later, I got a call from my regional office. They told me to rewrite my entire report.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Leaving out anything they said was unusual. Said it must be a black bear. It must have been black bears fighting, even though we haven't confirmed black bears here in Lewis County for decades.
But it must be.
But here's the thing. I started digging into it. Found out there was another similar reports in conservation areas, leading back to an incident in the Adair County back in 85, when a truck driver saw something, which is the story we talked about. I changed now. I've changed how I do my my patrols now. Never go out after dark without my rifle and at least a backup sidearm. Started carrying a better camera too. Thought I hadn't seen anything quite like that night again, but I hear things, especially around the river bottoms. And I find tracks, always in pairs, like they're following each other. The old timers around here, ones who worked in these woods for decades, say that there's a war going on out here. Two different creatures fighting over territory. A lot of folks laugh off the legends, but I know what I saw. Last month, I found some weird marks carved into a tree near the river. Deep grooves that looked deliberate, almost like some kind of animal marking its territory. A week later, I found the same thing on a tore-down tree with different marks surrounding the tree, like they're fighting over boundary lines. Only these boundary lines stretch across multiple counties. I'm retiring next year, and I'm moving down to the Ozarks where my daughter lives. Part of me is glad to leave these woods behind. Another part of me really wants to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because whatever these creatures are, they're intelligent, they're organized, and they're fighting over something bigger than I understand.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know if these are real or not. These are reported to people.
I don't know either, but I do have one option to throw out there just since we haven't discussed it yet. Is there any chance it's just this war is between like two factions of furries? And this is like the furry, like, I don't know, where they settle disputes. You got to go out in the woods and you fight in the natural territory.
Like animals.
Yeah, I know. I tried to think of a different word, but literally it's like animals.
Daphne, if you could let us know if this happens.
yes, our inside, someone on the inside.
She's the only person I know that participates.
I know, me too. She's the only person I know too.
I personally know, I guess.
Well, yes, personally. That we have conversations with. Please, if you have any information on this, let us know.
Are there furry fight clubs?
In Missouri, specifically. Like, see, I think
that would be such a good way to get shot.
Middle of the woods in Missouri.
Dressed up like, in your fur suits?
Yeah.
Fighting each other?
There's certain battle arenas where you have to settle disputes. One of them is in Missouri. One of them is in Manistee National Forest. And one of them is in the Hocking Hills.
Oh, that one in Manistee National Forest got shot in the face. He's a dead furry, unless his head wasn't in his costume's head.
See, it's all
maybe
tricky.
It's not a costume. I don't know the appropriate terminology.
Yeah, I guess I should stop. We're not making fun of
not making fun of furries, but it is an option.
Yeah, the scenario is funny.
Are there any? Here's a general question for anybody that participates in the furry community. Are there? I know there's like dogmen like furries. They're not dogmen. They're like canids.
Right. Yeah.
Are there Bigfoot furries?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I've never seen one, so I have no idea.
I think it depends on where you fall on what Bigfoot is, right?
Well, I mean, a Bigfoot-like furry.
Right.
Because they're not dog man furries, but they...
No. Right. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Daphne, if you could enlighten us.
Furry Fight Club.
Send us an email.
Is that going to be the second title of this episode?
Yeah, Furry Fight Club. Yeah, that's what people think of when... Dogman and Bigfoot are fighting.
Well, running across the highway is not great in front of a semi. At 40 miles an hour. I don't think they can...
No, not smart.
I don't think they can run in a fursuit at 40 miles an hour, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, you may be impressed or surprised.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if these stories are true at all. Like, I don't know if any of the stuff we talk about is true at all, besides what I've seen and what you've seen.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But I just found it interesting. And we've heard a couple times from here and there, like Kentucky, we've heard some from. We talked to people at Hocking Hills about it, where they'd seen Bigfoot and Dogman fighting in areas.
Oh, gosh. Some I believe, some I might not believe.
It was interesting.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I remember.
The Dollar General parking lot where we got confronted. Oh yeah,
confronted. I don't think confronted. It's not a good terminology for what happened.
We got told a story.
We got told encounters.
Encounters, yes.
Very interesting.
Very.
Shelby County, 2003. Jeff Miller. Jeff Miller, I run a small hunting supply store in Celebi. Been a bow hunter all my life and got plenty serious for trail cameras over the last decade. Got about 12 Bushnell trophy cams set up across my lease, 180 acres of prime hunting just north of Black Creek. I started early in October in 2013. I was checking my cameras like I do every 2 weeks during deer season. Everything was normal until I got to camera 14, which sits near an old salt lick about a quarter mile from the creek. The battery was dead, which is weird because I just had charged it. The SD card was completely full. Also strange, since these cameras are set, you know, for 3 shots when they trigger, so it doesn't get over full.
Okay.
Got home, loaded the card onto my computer. First day was normal. Deer, turkeys, couple coyotes. Then October 3rd, around 2 a.m., things get weird. The timestamps of these photos were taken just seconds apart. And he's got a timestamp for each photo.
Gotcha.
2:13:45 a.m., first photo shows what looks like a massive dark shape moving it through the frame. Blur suggests it was moving quite fast. Looks like it looks like fur with a silvery sheen. 2:13:47, second photo clear, something bipedal, at least 7 feet tall, wolf-like head, but all wrong, arms extremely long, ended in hands with claws, eyes reflected, infrared flash.
Mm.
Third photo, which is a second later, a second later. So it's a second creature entering the frame, huge, covered in brown fur, built like a gorilla, just bigger. Had to be 9 feet tall.
Hmm.
2 seconds later, both creatures fighting, image blurry, but trees starting to bend from impact. Then nothing. Camera died. That's where it really gets interesting. Checked out my other cameras. Camera number 12, which is about 300 yards west. Both creatures caught running through frame. Clear shot of wolf thing muzzle. Muzzle longer than a normal wolf. Teeth visible even with mouth closed. Camera 16, a quarter mile north. Brown creature throwing what looks like a small tree at wolf thing. Wolf, and this is 2:15, and then these three are all 2:15. Wolf thing dodging, showing incredible speed. And then both creatures grappling. Brown thing has wolf thing in headlock.
Oh, nice.
Camera 19, then, which is near the creek, 2:17 a.m., wolf thing slashing brown creature with claws, brown creature bleeding but still fighting, blood almost looks black in infrared light, both creatures crashing into the creek. He says all of the cameras were either destroyed or had their batteries completely drained.
Drained out, yep.
Found them scattered through the woods, some tore right off of the trees.
Hmm.
The destruction path led north to the Salt River. Next morning, I went out to document the damage. Found tracks like nothing I'd ever seen. Some were like giant wolf prints that were shaped like they were walking upright. Others were like massive bear human prints. Tree shaped or shredded, ground tore up. Found blood, two types. Some red blood, some dark blood. Seemed to be like in the stream in the morning air. Called my buddy Steve, who works for a conservation department. He came out, took pictures, collected samples. 2 days later, he called me. He tells me to forget what I saw.
Hmm.
Says the official report will say storm damage and normal wildlife activities.
Hmm.
But here's the thing, it kept happening. Every few months, similar pattern. Cameras dead, destroyed, 2 sets of prints, tree damage, strange noises at night, and then some livestock from my neighbor's farms went missing.
So they were constantly fighting, it sounds like?
Every 3 to 4 months,
yeah.
He had issues. Started talking to other hunters, comparing notes, found similar things happening all over Missouri. Two creatures always fighting. Get in touch with the guy who saw something similar in Lewis County, and that's another one of the stories up above that we talked about. Been collecting data ever since. Set up better cameras, military-grade stuff with longer battery life. Started GPS tracking destination, like destructive patterns. Mapped all the sightings, collected all local legend stories. Patterns suggest these creatures are territorial, with ranges covering multiple counties. The fights seem to peak during full moons in early fall. They're smart, too. Most of the new cameras get destroyed before catching any glimpse of anything good, like they know they're being watched. Last year, I found something really strange. Marks carved into trees, like they were marking their territory. Not random claw marks, but deliberate patterns. Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's it for those four stories. Like I said, they're all collected from Missouri from this organization. They could be all fake. They could be real.
Right, yeah. Huh, yeah, it's just...
For me, for it being fake, there's a lot of detail, a lot of names. Like the one guy owns a hunting store in the town he names.
Right, yeah.
It's probably not hard to figure out who that is, if he's real or not.
If you can track it down and see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Confirm, at least if that person exists.
But we've heard there's always this rumble in the back of Bigfoot conversation about Bigfoot and Dogman.
Right, yep.
Even we hang out with Tony and Joel and them, and they've talked to people. They've had things happen.
Well, there's overlap.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about these?
Well, remember, Dogman's the new Bigfoot.
Gosh.
It's coming. That's what it seems like anyways. No, the Dogman phenomenon has been a lot more on the rise, too, recently. Past few years. You know, as far as being in the same conversation as the Bigfoot phenomena. But, you know, obviously they're feuding or whatnot. But here's my question, though, is especially if this is reoccurring each, you know, 3 or 4 months, does neither of them ever win?
I have thoughts about that. Let's say this is real, and I'm not sure these reports are real.
Okay.
I'm really don't.
Let's just say they are, though.
Let's just, for the argument, the conversation for what the hell, let's say these are real.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes me think of more elemental stuff. And you kind of talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The good versus evil. Where they mean, I'm not saying Bigfoot's good, Dogman's evil. But for this conversation, maybe these are two opposing elemental forces.
Mm-hmm.
This is their physical form that's temporary.
Right.
So they're constantly battling.
When they're temporarily here. Or
there's a couple of Norse legends of sea monsters. There's two different types of sea monster.
Hmm.
That were not physical in a way, but they would have physical fights twice a year. And depending on who won, would determine what your bad stuff for the year is and what your good stuff for the year is.
So it's
basically if one won, the fish stock would be good, but the harvest would be bad.
Okay.
And vice versa. If one won, the harvest would be good, but the fish stock would be bad.
It's like Punxsutawney Phil?
Kind of, but these are two kaiju.
Oh, okay.
These, you know, building-sized animals that these Nordic people would see fighting.
And the fates determined off the winner.
And it happened regularly enough that they connected what they believe were patterns, the results. Because I believe it was like a giant fish and a giant crustacean.
Okay, battling out.
Yeah, if the fish won, and fish stocks would be good, and the crustacean won, harvest would be good, but the fish stocks would be poor.
Gotcha.
So what if it's something like that? Or it's this ancient elemental battle. They're not, even though there's slashing and there's blood and there's destruction physical.
Well,
night ends, it's over.
Right. Like what Randy said, when they're here, they're physically here.
Has Randy ever had any Dogman stuff on his property?
So
I know he's had that dog thing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a dog man.
Yeah, I don't think dog man happened there, but he had that like black apparition where it was like dog like.
He's had the grays looking things too.
Yeah, that too. There's just a lot of weirdness at this property.
So I don't know if it's elemental forces
battling.
Yeah, and this is just the physical version of that.
The physical manifestation of their plight.
Yeah.
In the current state of battle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But so I have other options. That's one that they're not real, as in they're not
physically tangible. Real. Yeah, yeah.
They're intertangible, whether they're fey or they're interdimensional or they're the elementals, which anymore I kind of lean towards some of these cryptids being elementals.
Just straight up that. I mean, but even what is that at the end of the day?
See, and I my definition of an elemental personally is a manifestation of energy present in nature. So, like the fungus networks, I think they produce so much energy that they can manifest elementals.
Okay.
That their, I guess, quote unquote, consciousness.
That's what I was going to ask.
Is an elemental.
Yeah. Is it conscious?
Is one form. But there are so many, there's probably so many layers we don't understand yet that there are probably energies on top of energies that produce their own, I guess, gladiator for the fight.
Gotcha.
But their opinion. So, it's not good. It's not that Bigfoot's good and Dogman's bad.
Right.
But one scares us more than the other. But is that because Bigfoot is more person-y, is more human-y? We're less scared of that compared to the wolf.
Which could be more geared towards just death and destruction.
Or, but the life and death cycle, it's all one thing.
Oh, yeah, true.
You can't have life without death.
Right. You can't have good without bad. Yeah. You can't have light without dark.
The only way the soil gets better is through death.
You can't have a happy time without first experiencing a sad.
Okay, Butters.
And that's Bob Ross.
Oh, well, Butters said that, too.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't do Butters. No, cheese.
So,
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's my elemental version.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe this Missouri, I don't know, maybe these places still have some of them, enough of whatever produces these things.
Mm-hmm.
Where you still get them. And I even think some of the one-off cryptids are that stuff.
I do too. Because you can't rule it out. There's just too much weird out there. You know, it's a possibility too. We know they're opening portals and stuff to other weird, whatever, dimensions, whatever you want to call it. That stuff's happening or happened. If it's happened, it's happening. It's still happening. They're not stopping any of this stuff. Like Stranger Things, it's happening.
So my little list I have, why they're together. And then why conflict? I have two separate little lists.
Okay.
Big one is they're working together, and this is somebody like training their dog. What do you got in your mouth? Like the Bigfoot's trying to pull it out. Like got a squirrel in there.
That's why it never hurts him. But they're always play fighting.
But the dog man that slashes a Bigfoot.
Yeah, I mean they'll do that. Doug did that
to me. I got a big scar from it.
Right.
And
yeah.
He was playing.
He's a little too rambunctious. Mm-hmm. Those dog men.
So, yeah, that's one thing I had that, because I've heard stories, especially from Tennessee, that they seem to be working in tangent, but then also in Tennessee, a lot of them saying that they're fighting with each other and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is their version of play, and they're so much bigger than us that we don't, it's terrifying
scary.
To us.
Yeah, could be.
My next one is they just happen to like the same habitat, right? There's just, we're getting to the point where there's less and less of their preferred habitat. They're having more and more conflicts because they prefer the remote wilderness areas that has enough food to support them if they're flesh and blood.
The overlap is no longer.
And we're forcing two what would be apexes
together.
Into a small area.
Now kiss.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then they're ripping each other apart.
Right.
And where it may not be the same Bigfoot and dog man. And it may not be the same individuals every time, or maybe a group of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this line that is imagined in this article is the, you know, territorial boundary.
Mm-hmm.
So if two of them are walking the territorial boundary each time. I've never heard a dog man marking their territory like the scratches a couple of these stories had.
Mm-hmm.
But we've heard Bigfoot, all kinds of stuff marking territory. And some of the big researchers that we've talked to that say, you know, it's not for us.
Right. You know, it's for other.
It's for either Bigfoot or other things.
Other things, yeah. Whatever world's out there that we're just not part of.
Because some people have said, like, the big X is you're not supposed to walk past him. And a lot of the people that research that really believe it doesn't matter. It's not for you.
Right, yeah.
They don't care. You're so loud and smelly and
they know you're
they
there.
They know they're not worried about you sneaking up on them.
No, because you can't.
And we've talked about that on the show a lot. I'm a very big believer, unless you're in a car. That's probably the exception. You're not going to surprise a Bigfoot.
Why in a car would that be an exception?
They're coming around speed? A bend really quick and stuff like that.
Just going that fast? Yeah. Okay.
And that's why you see them running a lot of times. Or they run up behind you a lot of times.
Frighten them.
Like they're laying in the ditch. Like, well, with Greg's encounter, you know, it was hunched in the ditch, just probably hoping he would just pass.
Right, yeah.
And when he slowed down, he's like, ah.
Jig is up.
Yeah, it sees me. So that's one thing I had. Same habitat. Same areas, and they're just getting smaller and smaller, so
yeah,
conflict is rising.
Right, yeah.
And we see that with other predators, especially a big example I had with that was mountain lions and wolves.
Mm.
They co-occur most of the U.S. naturally.
Right.
But their territories, they normally avoid each other. They don't enjoy each other. They're apex predators.
Right, they don't want to deal with each other.
In areas where they're forced, most of the time the mountain lion loses out because there's more wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And mountain lion will push further into human conflict then. So the wolves will push the mountain lion out from harassment of their territory.
Right.
And push mountain lion into more human conflict.
Gotcha.
So this is when you see mountain lion start hunting cats. Like, have you seen the video that the mountain lion eating the guy's cat in his garage?
No, I don't think so. That sounds sad.
The scariest thing ever.
Yeah. That's.
He opens the door and the cat is in pieces with like a 250-pound mountain lion.
Oh my gosh.
Through a screen door in his garage. It's like a normal garage. The door just happened to be open.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, Whiskers.
Oh, and then poor Whiskers.
Just like pieces.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
And he's like, I don't know what to do.
I wouldn't know what to do either.
Yeah, I can't leave. The car's in the garage.
Yeah. Poor Whiskers.
Yeah. So is that what's happening here? And is that why Dogman encounters are going up? Like you've said, the last, you know, 4 or 5 decades, they've steadily gone up, 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 up. Not just in public opinion, but in actual reported number of sightings.
Right, yeah.
Is that because maybe they're being forced into conflict with each other due to this territorial overlap? And when one of them loses, they get pushed into human conflict.
Another one, yeah. I would imagine if they're fully physical, that's got to play a part of this. Mm-hmm. The turf and the conflict of, I guess, land. I don't know. But if they're fully physical, yeah, I mean, that's got to play a role. It's just how nature works.
Next one I had is portals. Mm-hmm. That maybe these areas are like window areas. And if they're coming in and out all the time,
you're bound to see them.
Maybe that they 99% of the time they don't run into each other.
Yeah. It's just when they do.
Every once in a while they're coming through a door at the same time and then they fight. And
then they got a Benny Hill fight scene going on.
Yeah. Yeah. As a poor park ranger is watching them destroy a hill.
His whole park. Like, I just built that vernal pool.
Gosh.
And they splash it all out.
Love you, John.
Fairy shrimp are flying everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's one. What do you think of portals?
It always plays a part in this stuff. The supernatural side of Bigfoot and Dogman. Yeah.
And I had military.
Oh, of course.
What if, and we talked about it on our Patreon episode this week, if the military is either, if they made Dogman or they took genetic samples from whatever Dogman is and made their own Dogman.
Right.
What if they're using these to hunt down other cryptids?
Right, it could just be that, too.
And that's what they're using to keep control, these secret populations of other animals, of other supernatural beings, is their own little army of dogmen. And that's why Michigan, where's Manistee National Park, why there's so many dogman sightings there, because there's so many Bigfoot sightings there.
Right, yeah.
That's in my personal opinion. If you want your best chance to see a Bigfoot, it's either Hocking Hills or Manistee National Park.
Mm-hmm.
But Manistee National Park has a lot of dogmen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of scary dogman sightings, and that's new.
Right,
not new. There's always been dogman, you know, dogman's
relatively new.
You know, 130 years there, but the amount of scary sightings we're getting of dogman-like creatures
are going up.
It's going way up.
Mm-hmm.
So what if that is a management system that they've created, the U.S. government or the military or the industrial military complex?
To help mitigate the Bigfoot?
To manage the other supernatural creatures' populations.
Oh, just all of them in general.
Just use them as herd animals, essentially. Use them as dogs.
Yeah.
To push either Bigfoot or whatever else is out there
away.
Away or capture or corral.
Or keep them in, yeah, crowd in.
Or run them into, like, to catch them.
Mm-hmm. What if, dogs are very, how long has animal husbandry with dogs been domesticated?
I believe dogs were the first.
So that's been a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
What if splicing dog canine DNA with human DNA?
100%.
And you're able to...
You're a perfect soldier.
Yeah, you're able to... They're
loyal.
They take loyal, take command. They do exactly as you say. And then the moment they don't, you just put them down. And on to the next.
Why dogs work so well is pack structure.
Right.
And they have one they listen to, or a couple ones they listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So long as they're not bidding for the alpha structure.
Right.
They are very loyal to their families, their packs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also very subservient, very obedient.
Exactly, yeah.
So like you're saying, if you bred a human, like genetically, a human and a canid together.
Right.
And made that monstrosity, you would have an intelligent super soldier that could follow orders very well.
And it's very obedient. Yeah, very,
very
obedient.
Capable of destroying.
Mm-hmm.
One I had that I seen put out there a lot for the dog-man-Bigfoot conflict is maybe it's Miss ID.
Okay.
Maybe they're both dog-man, or maybe they're both Bigfoot.
Oh, okay. Or black bear.
Or, yeah, they're two black bears just going at it.
Yeah.
No, that maybe that it's just, you know, this heat of the moment, you're scared, and I don't know. I've seen that focus, because it always seems like the Bigfoot is not nearly as detailed
as
the dog man, but the dog man also has externally scarier features. You know, these oversized teeth and claws.
I was going to say claws, yep.
So these predatory reflexes.
Yes. Things we're meant to notice.
Yeah, your brain is just screaming at you.
Like, bad news.
Yeah, predator. So I seen that. I don't know if I buy it. But yeah. And then why conflict? I have a couple of those.
Yeah, why are they fighting?
So one thing I seen was a lot of these are around farmland with missing livestock. Not just these four stories.
Okay.
For another episode, I actually have a bunch from Hocking Hills.
Okay.
And we'll do another episode on this from Hocking Hills. And where I did not have them seen together, but I have BFRO reports and Dogman reports. From, like, the same road.
Same area, yeah, same exact
from the
area.
Same summer.
Yeah, okay.
So they were seen, you know, in each other's tracks.
Right.
But one person sees an ape and one person sees a 9-foot-tall canid.
Dog, yeah. So are you suggesting that maybe
what if, so a lot of Bigfoot encounters, or a lot of Bigfoot. Let's take Ohio, for example.
Okay.
There's been a lot of times Bigfoot's been seen with cows, been seen with horses.
Mm-hmm.
Not bothered them, right? No, these large...
braiding their hair, even.
Yeah, playing with them, or, you know, and then... people that have seen Bigfoot walking through cow pastures, they say the cows weren't bothered.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, you know, we kind of view a Sasquatch as this guardian entity of the forest, whether it's real or not, you know, mm-hmm. are we personifying emotions onto an animal?
Right.
Or is it something? But we have enough, what may be classified as evidence to say that it seems like Bigfoot maybe enjoys farm animals. And if you take the Brown property where that they stole that chicken, and then she asked for it back, and
they brought it back. Yeah.
They didn't eat him. They didn't kill him. They just took him.
Right,
they enjoyed him. And Bigfoot is... I know for our property, for example, many options to steal baby goats.
Mm-hmm.
We had hundreds of baby goats sometimes. Not hundreds, but we had a lot of baby goats.
Right.
They could have taken anything they wanted. Mm-hmm. Never did. Never had... We never lost a baby goat to predation.
Okay.
Or never went missing. Nothing. So what if there's that... these dogmen are hunting and killing. Like, we had the story from Ohio where that cop watched a dogman rip into a horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gruesome.
Yeah. And what if that's a fight? That it's just this mindless, maybe, killing.
Killing machine.
Where maybe they're not mindless killers, but the fox in the hen house, you know, syndrome. Where...
they got to kill everything once they start.
When it's pastured animals, when it's corralled animals.
Yeah.
Predators, it's called fox in the hen house syndrome, where predators, when they're in an enclosed space with domestic livestock, go nuts and kill every piece of livestock, because in nature that would never happen. Mm-hmm. Once you kill one, the rest of them would run away.
Right. Yeah.
But in captive culture, you know, in cultivated settings, they can't.
They got nowhere to go.
They're in a pasture. They're in a barn. They're in a coop.
So your instincts are going to say,
just kill.
Keep getting them.
So what if that's the driving factor with this conflict? Because mm-hmm. it seems like with a lot of these stories, that there's a lot of agricultural presence and a lot of killing of livestock.
So they could be competing over food?
I'm saying that it's bothering the Bigfoot on an emotional level.
Gotcha. Okay.
The Bigfoot doesn't want to kill livestock. Or maybe it's even past that where it draws attention.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want attention drawn to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because just you're out here killing stuff, there's going to be people out here looking.
Right.
I don't want people in my living room.
A dog man's blowing Bigfoot's cover by acting, you know, recklessly.
Yes. So if it's that something, or if it's more a gentle giant where...
well, maybe that is it, though, and that's why he's not killing a dog man, just putting his place. You know, get him in a headlock real good. That'll show him. That's what she said in the one story.
Mm-hmm. Another one I had, obviously, competing for resources. Whether that's shelter... water, food,
yeah.
territory, doesn't matter.
Anything.
That we've already kind of hit that nail on the head a lot, that mm-hmm. it's just maybe their room's running out.
Right, yeah.
And what's left, they are fiercely
competing for it, yeah.
Another one I've seen a lot of people is saving humans. That these are the part of dogman attacks that are ramping up, where they're starting to kill livestock, they're starting to become aggressive, starting to be seen. And then the next step in these dogman flaps is the death of humans.
Okay.
So Bigfoots are getting involved in that.
To stop that.
Whether they're wanting to save people from the goodness of their heart, or the same thing we already said with drawing attention.
Right.
That's why I'm a big believer Bigfoot don't kill people unless it's extreme extenuating circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And that main reason could be because 500 people are going to be out here tomorrow looking for them.
Yeah.
You know, if you kill a person or a person goes missing, there's going to be 500-600 people out here in my living room.
Looking for them.
Yep. I don't want that.
Right.
So what if that's the driving factor for these conflicts, is these dogmen are ramping up.
Too much.
Yeah, and then they know that, okay, they're going to kill a person soon. Mm. They're going to kill a person soon, and then that's bad for us, because then everybody's out here with a gun looking for something to kill.
So he's out there fighting the dogmen that are on the edges of the, you know, just that are vulnerable, that people are vulnerable to.
And like you even said, to putting them back down.
Yeah.
Not killing them, but
putting them back in their place.
Yeah, calm down. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if any of these stories are real. We We'll never know if anything's real anymore.
No, unless you see it firsthand or you talk to the person firsthand. And
now with that VO3 or whatever it is.
Oh, the new, oh my gosh, yeah. You can't trust videos and pictures anymore.
You know how many, unfortunately, people have sent me pictures of fish and stuff, or videos of fish, and I'm like, yeah, that's AI.
Yeah, it's not real.
That's not real, but it looks really good.
And that's a whole other conversation, what that's training us for.
But yeah, so anymore, even pictures and stuff like that, I have no idea.
You can't tell anymore.
Fish are a little easier for me, but...
Right, because you already know them all.
Not all of them.
Might as well say that.
Oh, I know all of them in Ohio.
See, there you go. That's all of them. Some people, that's all.
But like we'll talk about on Wednesday's episode with a co-homo, that even if nothing happens, just this creature being seen will cause monster hunts.
Mobs to form, yeah.
Grafton monster. I mean, hundreds of people out there with guns shooting at nothing.
It didn't even do nothing to nobody.
It just was hanging out on the side of the road.
It's there.
The guy that reported it, the newspaper guy, felt horrible.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to shoot it, and he's just whistling.
It ought to be a lesson for everyone at home. Just leave things whistling in the woods alone.
100%. Grafton's probably the only thing that's nice that's whistling in the woods.
And me.
Yeah, until they get you.
That don't make me not nice. I guess it could make me not nice if it got me.
But yeah, all right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Gave you something to think about. I have been the great and powerful Mystery.
And I've been JClone168.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the JClones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.